Welcome to the Crow People Podcast.
You had a delayed welcome there.
I did have a delay. I'm on a delay. I've been in a different time zone this week.
Just this week? Yes, feels like it's been a little bit longer than that.
I'm coming off the medication.
Okay. Yeah. Feels like you've been in a different time zone since about, I don't know, I first met you. Or
well, yes. One hour ahead.
Yes.
One hour ahead.
And I mean that as a compliment.
Thank
by
you.
The way. We're just trying to catch up to where you are.
I wouldn't say eccentric, but, you know, different. I wouldn't say I beat to my own drum.
I mean, eccentric might be a good one, especially after I heard a new song that you made up.
Okay. All right, fine. Okay.
We do not have to discuss that on here.
No, yeah. I think we're not going to discuss the song. Well, we can, I'm not going to sing the song.
Okay.
Okay. But if you have pets,
which I do.
Okay. Are there things that you say to your pet that you would never say to anyone else?
Their name.
That's it.
I mean, I say our dog's name is Mia, so I'm like, Mia.
Does Mia have a middle name?
No. Come here. I'll say that really forcefully sometimes. Get in here.
But you don't have a different language that you speak to the dog?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, well, I am.
Yeah, apparently. hence the eccentricness.
Yeah, yes. Well, there is a certain song. When I make a right turn off of East Cherokee, so if you're listening to this and you're heading toward Woodstock, East Cherokee and 140, there's a Chick-fil-A. I don't live too far from there. When I make that turn, I am excited to see the dog. Mm-hmm. Not as excited as he is to see me because he knows he's going to get fed.
Of course. Yeah, dogs are very excited.
Yeah. But I get excited. I sing a little song. Sometimes I'll make up words to worship songs about the dog. I do. I am not the only one.
I would like, I'm not going to say you are the only one because people definitely love their pets.
Yeah.
And I do not disparage you for loving your pet. Mm-hmm. Like no shade whatsoever.
Oh, he got me through a lot.
Yes. Agreed. He's a good dog. Him and his two teeth or
none teeth. None.
Yeah. I'm a pretzel fan.
Yeah. You know, Pretzel Fitzgerald is his full name.
Although it took him a while to be a fan of me.
Yes. You know, well, it takes him a while to be a fan of anybody.
True.
Because he's a chihuahua.
He's a chihuahua.
Territorial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there. I mean,
that was a good impression.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know you do chihuahua.
Severely, I do. So I'm not saying that you're not the only one. There might mm-hmm. be some people. Definitely people in our church will come up and say something to you now about this.
They will.
But I would like to think you're the only one. as I told you, I don't know who you should repeat that to, but here we are repeating it to everybody.
And it's fine. I know I'm not the only one that makes up songs and sings them to their dog or to themselves before they even see the dog.
Yeah. I mean, I need to ask Natalie because Natalie is the animal lover in our family. Mm-hmm. Mia, you know, is her favorite, I won't say thing, because it's a living being, you know, but I often wonder if Natalie loves Mia more than she loves us. So again, I know there's high affection, and I love our dogs too. And Lindsay and I, we had two great dogs. One, we had a dog together while we were dating before we got married, which is a big commitment.
That is.
But we knew we were getting married.
Hey, and, I'm going to go live in a hut in Africa.
Yeah.
And there's a dog.
Here's a dog. And it was a boxer. Because one of my college roommates had a boxer, and I just fell in love with the dogs. So she was great, got ran over. And then we had another dog, Cocker Spaniel, that had a heat stroke and died. So we had like two amazing dogs that tragically died. So maybe I don't allow myself to get as close to them. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I would sing to them. Well, I wouldn't, but
maybe you need to talk about that in counseling.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I was also not
need to go to a counselor. I have several.
I'm also not the father though that had a different language for his children. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I didn't do all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty consistent in that, mm-hmm. you know, So yeah, when you said you were, you again, I know you're excited to see your dog, and I think that's great. It was, I think it was probably not just the song, but it was even the setup to the song and the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I get that. I get
well, as I tell Cecily on our staff, it's unique.
It is. It yeah. is unique. Yeah.
And this weird feels negative.
You know, this is the first time in my life I've ever had a dog.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't a dog person.
Okay.
Until the Chihuahuas came around.
Yeah.
And who knows? It would be awesome if I had like 20 of them.
No. Well, I say, I mean, yeah, you can decide what's awesome or not. I say no. Like, I just had this conversation with Natalie because she has been wanting a second dog for quite some time. And I just keep putting it off and putting it off. Again, not that I don't want another dog, but I told her, I said, Natalie, listen, here's what you got to understand. In our season of life right now, it's already hard enough to take care of one dog.
Yeah.
Because we work, Natalie has school and sports, Jackson is in school and works. So there'll be stretches of time where Mia is at home by herself. Mm-hmm. And then if we travel or, you know, my in-laws will keep our dog, we will keep their dog when they're out of town. So I'm like, we have our dog, they have their dog, and we you know, trade off. So there's times where two dogs are in my house, but I was like, we can't have a second dog.
No.
Like, it's too much to take care of.
And I agree. I would want a second dog.
I agree with that sentiment. Yeah.
Yeah. So Pretzel has a buddy.
Yes.
But it's too much. I'm gone way too much. I do have a great dog sitter in the neighborhood. My neighbors go in and take care of him.
Yeah.
And they're always a little timid to go into the house with Pretzel. He's five pounds of terror.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get a sheep.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get a sheep. Was that the worst segue we've ever had on the Grow People podcast?
It was pretty bad.
You have to stop doing that in the sermons because I can't stop laughing.
I know. It is pretty funny. Well, the funniest part was, I'm pretty sure it was the 8 a.m. 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It just happened naturally. Like, I did not plan to say that. So I just made the like bad, you know, it just kind of came out. Mm-hmm. Well, then it became a thing. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, well, that's too good not to repeat.
And when the sheep are talking to each other.
Yeah. Meh,
meh,
yeah. Meh, yeah. Meh. The Thursday night last week's gathering was probably the most fun I've had in a sermon in a while. Mm-hmm.
It looked it.
Shout out Thursday night.
Yeah.
You need to come Thursday night.
Thank you to everyone who has made the sacrifice and given up their seat, especially at 9:30 on Sunday.
Yes. Thank you to the sheep who have given up your seat.
Yes. And then you realize, oh, Thursday's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I can go to Chick-fil-A.
You can. You can go to Chick-fil-A after church or before church. Thursday night is probably the most raw. It's the most raw unedited sermon. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get, it's like shooting a movie. You're going to get the full length movie and then it gets in post. It gets trimmed down before Sunday.
Yep.
Gets about 10 minutes cut out of it on Sunday for Sunday. So if you want the raw unedited sermon fresh off the, out of the oven, come Thursday night at 7 in Canton.
Same incredible worship. And
yeah, the food's the same. Like I said,
yeah,
like food is just as good on Thursday night. There's just an extra helping.
There,
basically, what we're saying.
There is. If you want seconds,
yeah. If you want seconds, come on Thursday night. You know,
it's less of a buffet and more of a family style dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they bring you the sides, the
family sides.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm just serving them up.
Yeah. This series has been, I don't know. I always say this, and I go back to you know, a couple series of the last 2 years, but it's foundational.
Mm-hmm.
To have the perspective of the shepherd, the sheep, and the other sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Just hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah, it really is, and which is funny, and I've said it a couple times now, like we've preached through the entire Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. We've taught through John 15 for like 8 years now on a January, or in Januaries. I'm honestly like, how have we not talked about this before?
Right.
You know, but that's what's cool too about reading the Bible. The Spirit just kind of at different parts and seasons of the life of a church, you know, will highlight certain things that he wants to the church to know. But I agree. I say that to say like, yeah, it's so foundational. I don't know how we missed it during the foundational phase.
Yeah. You
know, like, and it, not that we missed it. I'm not saying that.
Well, you know, Abide was focusing on staying connected to the vine.
Yes.
And, you know, a branch that breaks away from the vine ain't got no chance of having fruit.
No.
So it was more of a fruit push than it was a sheep push.
Yeah. And that's what I like about this. And it is kind of a different take on, like, you can put them together, with those analogies. And obviously we have to be careful with metaphors. Like you can't stretch them out. We had somebody email in for this, like, who's the gatekeeper? Well, the point of this parable or story is not to figure out who the gatekeeper is or, you know, who the thief and robber is. You know, I mean, I think in short answer, the gatekeeper is the Father, you know. However, he's using an analogy of a shepherd and sheep and a wall. And, you know, and so where I'm going with that, back to the vine, I feel like the analogy of the branch and the vine is like, gives you a picture of like, I got to stay connected to Jesus. Well, then this one is like, well, how do I stay connected to Jesus? I listen to his voice. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean by kind of bringing these two pictures together of like, if I want fruit in my life, I have to stay connected to Jesus. Well, I stay connected to Jesus by listening to his voice, you know? And so that's to me why it is quite foundational. And it becomes a great question, a great diagnostic question for ourselves to ask, like, whose voice am I listening to?
All day long, the voice of the enemy will speak. And we talked about this in the last podcast. The voice of the enemy will speak, and it's a muscle that you have to work.
Yeah.
Okay. My God's not going to tell me what I just heard.
No.
No. Lord, you're not going to say that to me.
Yeah.
That's the enemy.
Yeah.
So I only want to hear the shepherd's voice.
Yeah.
And that's why scripture is so important to have in your heart. Mm-hmm. So you can call on that in moments like that. When at any point in the last 4 weeks in preparation for these sermons, were you thinking about the trip to Israel? Because I was, and I forgot to mention this, we saw actual shepherds with sheep.
No, not explicitly. I wasn't, like, other than just the biblical metaphor of why they would say that. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't thinking about our trip to Israel. I probably should have been.
No, it wasn't, hey man, you missed this.
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But when you see actual shepherds and sheep, we saw nomads, and they weren't actors. They weren't there for filming of The Chosen.
No.
They were real nomads.
Yeah.
And they go from place to place, and they have sheep, and they have a staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here.
And they're in shepherd's fields.
Yes. And they only know the voice of that shepherd.
Yes.
Wild.
It is. And again, now I agree with you, like, that it's such a, because we got to see it. It's like, and I think it was the tour company that we went with made this comment of like, going to Israel allows you to read the Bible. You go from reading the Bible from black and white to in color, you know, that kind of idea. And so that's a good example of that, of like, when you see it in person, especially like we were close to Bethlehem, we can't go to Bethlehem because it is a majority Muslim population and it's not safe for Christians to go there, but we were on the outskirts of that and seeing the shepherd's fields and seeing those shepherds and seeing what the green pastures like in Psalm 23 are not like what we would have here. Mm-mm. Green pastures. It's like splotches of green grass amongst a bunch of rocks.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's going to be, you need a shepherd, to, it's not like you can just kind of let the sheep go with it. Like here, like you got a couple acres, you put a fence around it, there's grass everywhere, they can just graze. Over there, they can't. They have to be led because you're like, oh, I got to take you over here for a little while. Then I got to take you over here. Then I got, because most of this is rocks. There's not a lot of green grass. So it becomes paramount. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's a more desert environment, you know.
Just from the reaction of people I talked to after the messages, the concept of, yes, we're listening to the voice of the shepherd. We're a sheep listening to that voice, but there's also other sheep here.
Yeah.
And relating to other sheep is vital.
Yeah.
But not just for the union here in the church, but, yeah, but outside the church.
Yeah. And that's, again, going back to the analogy of, you know, John 15, the vine and this, and that's one thing I like about, what you said, so foundational. One thing I like about this is we can tend to think of the vine and the branch in very singular terms. Mm-hmm. You know, we know where there's other branches on the vine, but I'm not really connected branch to branch, mm-hmm, you know. But thinking about sheep from the perspective of, like I said, the word sheep is both singular and plural. It forces us to think in terms of a flock. It forces us to think in terms of not just my individual relationship with the shepherd, but my corporate relationship with the sheep. Mm-hmm. Like the shepherd has a personal relationship, yes, with the sheep individually, like we're all saved individually, but he has a personal relationship corporately too. Like he's not just leading one sheep, he's leading a flock. So then that becomes also a very powerful visual image to say of like, okay, well, there's the shepherd and I mean, you think about the 99 and the one, mm-hmm, like I referenced. If the 99 went over here and the one went over here, well, they didn't just not listen to the voice of the shepherd. They missed the direction of the sheep. Mm-hmm. Like the sheep took a right, they took a left. And so it would have been much better for that one sheep to, and I said this at the first week, like most sheep just keep their head down and graze and don't pay attention to where they're going. But it would have been far better for that sheep to realize quicker, oh, I'm separated from the sheep. Mm-hmm. And to realize that when they're, you know, a few feet away versus a mile away, and now they're completely vulnerable. So you also can see that from a tactic from the thief. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really get into this, although I kind of tangentially referenced it. But one of the biggest tactics of the stranger is not just to destroy our life, but to isolate us from the sheep. Because if he can isolate us from the sheep, then he's got us.
Yeah.
So it becomes paramount for me to stay in the community, in the family, in the flock. Which is not only because where the shepherd is, but that's where the sheep are.
And the sheep have a view of other sheep,
yeah,
that other sheep doesn't have.
Yeah. I mean, again, thinking about, like I made the point, or a couple points, like sheep need other sheep to discern the shepherd's voice. Mm-hmm. And then also it takes two to know one, you know, like there's just things, as an individual person, individual sheep that I can't see. We have blind spots. We, yep, call them blind spots for a reason. Mm-hmm. And one of the primary, and I think this is important for Christians to understand, because we always think of terms like, it's almost like it's a zero sum game. Like all I need is a relationship with Jesus. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Okay. That's true. You don't, as far as a requirement. Mm-hmm. But we need to understand one of the primary methods that the shepherd is going to use to grow us is other sheep.
Yes.
No doubt. Not just his voice, mm-hmm, you know? So it becomes so important to say, like, not only am I listening to the shepherd's voice, but am I staying connected to the sheep? Because if I'm not staying connected to the sheep, then that's going to impede my ability to hear, mm-hmm, his voice.
That's why it's so important to be in a community group.
Yes.
We just had a new launch of a season, a kickoff of a new season. If you're not in a group and you're looking for a group, go to the website.
Yeah.
Also, formation groups, which came out of the Abide cohort back, yeah, in January, that is on the front page of the website, and you can go through.
The formation groups aren't right now.
Okay.
It's the community groups. okay. right now. We did take that off. Sorry. But no, like, that, I think it's on there on the discipleship page or something.
Yeah,
okay. But
yeah,
and a quick hit on that, like if you're new and you don't know what Pastor David's talking about, a part of our discipleship strategy, we can just talk about this as the our strategy to help shepherd the sheep, you know, come into our large group gatherings.
Yep.
And this just came from the life of Jesus and what he did. Then he had the 72 that he sent out on mission. That's serving on a team. Mm-hmm. It's being connected to those people. Then there's a community group. That's the 12, which is typically, not always, but typically those can be men and women in a group. Sometimes it's just men, sometimes it's just women. But the majority is like, that's the 12. Mm-hmm. That's the men and women. A lot of the times it's married couples. And that's where you go over the you reap the message, the, you know,
read, examine,
apply, pray, bless the world, two basic spiritual disciplines that we want people to do. And then the formation group is you plus three other people. And again, it can be like, if you're in a community group, it can be the men in your group. Mm-hmm. It can be the women in your group.
It is gender-based.
It is gender-specific. Like, we want men with men, women with women, because that's when you can get a little bit more nitty-gritty mm-hmm. into your life. We want you to read the Bible together, develop a rule of life, live it out together. You know, you're helping each other. So yeah, all that information is, it's not on the front page, but it's on the website. So yeah, that's our strategy as shepherds, under shepherds, to help, you know, pastor the sheep. So that's what that would.
The whole concept of having somebody that's going to look at you and observe you
yeah.
and bring something to you. I love how you said, hey, when somebody comes to you and says, hey, you're a little bit out of line, what is your reaction to that?
Totally.
Yeah. The reaction is generally to back up
mm-hmm.
and for pride to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
It's rarely, man, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did do that. Yeah. I am acting like that.
Yeah.
So it is so important to be connected to the flock. And, you know, our discipleship pathway, when we say, you know, the large gatherings, the attendance of church, now we are in the South, the attendance of church, we would call it the gathering of church, the yeah. gathering of the people at church, is not a box check.
No.
And I never experienced going to church on Sunday because that's what you do. But here in the South, a lot of people go to church because that's what you do.
Yeah. yeah.
Please, 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 I implore you, take advantage of the fact that there's 1,000 other sheep next to you.
Yeah.
Take yeah. advantage of the fact that on Thursday night, there's 200 other sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of the fact that in Jasper, Jasper's blowing up.
Yes.
There were over 500 adults there last weekend. But don't just show up, check the box, and leave. Because without connection,
yes.
listen to this, without connection, you've got no place to go when a crisis hits.
Yeah, again, I mean, that's why this analogy is so great. That one sheep that was alone, you know, the one in the 99, like I said, Jesus didn't just go get that sheep to have him back in relationship with him, but to get him back to the 99. Because when that one sheep is by itself and a crisis hits,
mm-hmm.
they got nobody.
Nobody.
They're all alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tactic of the enemies, of the enemy, the devil, but the strangers, thieves and robbers, people. And we've seen this happen, sadly, in ministry mm-hmm. forever now. I can tell when Satan is starting to work in a person's life because that person starts to pull away from other people.
Yep.
Like, it's only a matter of time before somebody, and I'm going to be very general here, but this is kind of stereotypical. Like, somebody starts not attending a gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were serving or in a group.
Mm-hmm.
They stop going to a group because they're busy. Then they stop serving because they're busy. And then it's only a matter of time before they stop attending, or they are attending more occasionally. And then they kind of stop attending. And then the next thing we know, we hear about their marriage falling apart.
Life implodes
or something happens. And that's where it's like, and I'm not saying that those are direct causations, but what I'm saying is that is a tactic of the enemy to isolate, to isolate sheep from other sheep and then pounce, you know.
And I think you said this last year, and to separate from the word of God.
Yeah.
Separate us from the word of God and isolate us from the other sheep.
Yeah. I mean, you think about, again, the shepherd, and we did this 2 or 3 weeks ago. The weekend I was talking about the telos, like that is the goal, the end goal, and the logos. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus is the word. He's the shepherd. So the devil is trying to separate us from the word of God, who is our shepherd, and the people of God. Mm-hmm. So the point though is, like, if the people of God stay together, if the sheep stay together, and he starts attacking one sheep, well, then that sheep can say something, and the other sheep can be like, well, that's not the shepherd's voice. Mm-hmm. That's not the word of God. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, now that sheep's protected. So my point is, and I'm not saying this is always the way it happens, but before he attacks the word of God, he's going to attack the people of God. He's going to try to separate that sheep from other sheep. Then he's going to start attacking the word of God, because now that sheep, all they have is the voices in their own head. Mm-hmm. They don't have other wise voices around them. Or now they're hanging out with goats. Mm-hmm. Using that analogy. Now they're hanging out with people that are just going to affirm whatever they feel or whatever the voice of the stranger is saying to them. And now they're done. Like, the moment you're isolated from the sheep, again, I'm not saying the shepherd can't get you back. That also happens. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen this. I mean, probably one of the coolest things for us as a pastor is to see somebody who used to be connected to our church, got disconnected from our church, then their life fell apart, but then they come back. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the coolest things, they're, most times ashamed, like, we're sorry. We're like, you don't have to apologize to us.
Yeah.
Like, this is why we didn't want you to disconnect. This is why we want you to stay connected, because we love you. And we knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. The moment you started pulling away from us, it's only a matter of time before you start getting pulled away from the shepherd,
Nobody's knocking on your door if you're listening to this. That's just Pastor Jason emphatically pounding the table. So the sheep of the world are different than the sheep in this flock.
Yes.
And by this flock, I mean those who are following the shepherd Jesus. Because the sheep of the world is a negative connotation. These are just sheeple. They're gonna go in this direction. They're gonna fall off that cliff because they're following blindly, and it could be the voice of anybody. The voice of a podcast that's popular. The voice of a modern day philosopher that is popular. So they're heading in a direction that could be a politician. Dare I say, could be a politician. They're heading in a direction that leads to destruction. But if you head in the direction that leads to Jesus, you are a different kind of sheep.
Yeah. Again, like, it's so like, and I was just thinking about this, and sorry if you're watching online, I'm getting text messages. I'm getting text messages about, somebody that needs to come to my house. I didn't know they were coming today, so they've been blowing me up.
Everything's okay, though.
Oh, yeah, not bad. Not bad. It's a contractor.
Okay.
One of those, like, hey, we had you on the schedule today. He's like, well, it would have been nice to know that I was on the schedule today prior to you saying we can be at your house in 25 minutes.
At least you're not getting a washer dryer delivered sometime between 7 a.m. and 12 p.m.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, 12 a.m.
12 a.m. Midnight.
Yeah, all night. What I was thinking about when you were saying that, though, is like the Hebrews 12 passage where the writer of Hebrews says the Lord disciplines those he loves. Like, you only know if you're his children if he disciplines you. But how many sheeple, as you said, they walk away from the shepherd because they just don't want that kind of discipline, which then proves that they were never his sheep to begin with. They were just hanging out. They're different kind of sheep in the sense of you got to want that. Like when And it kind of goes back to what you were saying. You started talking about a second ago, like when other sheep point out something in us, if the Spirit of God is in us, which the Bible says when we, you know, the Word of God came to us, the Spirit of God opens our eyes to see the truth of the Word of God. We place our faith in Him. The Spirit then comes to indwell us. Well, when the Spirit comes to indwell us, then when the Word of God shows up or the people of God show up, we're going to respond humbly to that. It's like, because we now know, okay, in order to be saved, I had to admit I was sinful. Mm-hmm. So if I'm sinful, so when a sheep or the shepherd says something to me, my first response should be, oh, I'm wrong because I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. That should be our humble response. But it's not, you know, because we still have a flesh and mm-hmm. I get it. I'm not saying you're not saved if that's not your response. But my point is you might blow up in the moment, but you should come back around. If the Spirit's in you, you should come back around pretty quickly and be like, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have blown mm-hmm. up like that.
Right.
I need to listen to what you're saying to me, because I can't see everything about myself. Those of you who grew up in Southern Baptist world, you'll recognize this. My Baptist Student Ministries director in college, my BSM director, used to have this phrase, and I may have said it before, I can't remember, but he said, every person you meet is your superior in at least one area.
Mm. Yeah, you've shared that with me before. That's excellent.
Yeah. So his point was, you have something to learn from everybody.
Yes.
So therefore, you should not act arrogant. You know, mm-hmm. you should be humble. Like, I can learn something from this person.
Yes.
You know. And again, I just think that's, I mean, I'm a learner to begin with. So when I heard that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm down with that. Mm-hmm. You know. But a lot of times, I want to learn information. I don't want to learn where I'm wrong. You
yeah.
know, like I want to learn something new, not something that needs to die,
mm-hmm.
you know?
That's good.
But again, this is why marriage is so important. This is why living in community with other people is so important. We need other people in our life to be like, man, I know you can't see this right now, you know, but I love you enough to point it out. And again, that's part of the formation groups. That's the idea. Because I do think you have to earn the right to say that.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like on the flip side, you know, if you don't have a relationship with somebody, it's probably best not to point out their sins.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And you got to earn the right to be heard.
Any conversation with somebody you really don't know, and it starts with, may I make an observation?
Yes.
No, you may not.
Yes.
My friends can.
Yeah. Well, I should... We should start saying, only if I can make one back.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
And after they make the mm-hmm. observation, we can say back, hey, you recognize this is odd that you just did that, right? This is my observation, you know?
And that leads to something that was complete. Well, a lot of things that are preached by you are spontaneous. But Thursday night, you were making a point about if this sheep doesn't love this sheep like the shepherd. How did that go?
Oh yeah. Speaking of Thursday night and the raw edited version,
it got an applause break.
It did. Well, what happened on Thursday night that didn't happen on Sunday was, again, and this wasn't planned. So I was talking about, I was trying to make the point that if I say I love the shepherd, then I have to love sheep the way the shepherd loves the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't really love the shepherd. Well, in trying to say that, I got tongue twisted because that's a lot of S's and directions there, you know? And so as I normally do, like if I trip up myself and I'll just stop and make fun of myself. And so on Thursday night, I was like, oh, let me try it. So then I'd said it emphatically,
mm-hmm.
like, but not only did I say it emphatically, like I nailed it.
You know what I mean? Like it was nailed it. Like you had been practicing it for weeks.
Yeah. It's like I had, this was like, you know, Tom Cruise, you can't handle the truth.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
That would be Jack Nicklaus, mm-hmm. Right?
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Nicholson. I always get
and, the and golfer this, confused. The story of that scene was, you know, they wanted to shoot the reaction shots first of Tom Cruise and Kevin
Bacon.
No, yeah, well, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
And then the comedian that was in it.
Oh,
Kevin, yeah. Not Kevin Meaney, the other one.
Yeah.
And
not Kevin Nealon
and Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And then shoot differently the scene with Jack Nicholson.
I didn't know this.
Yes. So Nicholson comes to the set, and it was a famous director. I don't know who it was. And he goes, "Nah, I'm just going to roll with it." Mm. So in every take, he did that scene exactly like we see it in the final product.
Wow.
And then he said, "Okay, is that it?"
Yeah.
And walked off.
Yeah.
There was no difference from him saying it when you didn't see him and you were just seeing Tom Cruise, and then when he actually had the camera on him. That's a cool story.
It is cool.
Little side note.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But it was kind of that kind of moment, you know, where I'm not that good of an actor. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not an actor at all. But it clicked. My brain and my mouth worked with my hand, you know.
Can you do it again now? if this sheep doesn't love this sheep.
Yeah, I was like, again, trying to emphatically say it, like, if this sheep doesn't love that sheep the way this shepherd loves that sheep, then this sheep doesn't love that shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something to that effect.
You can hit rewind on the podcast and write that down.
But I said it emphatically and loudly. And yeah, I did get an applause on Thursday night.
Which we don't do things for that.
No, never. That's one of my pet peeves where pastors are like, "I don't know, some good preaching. Y'all should have said amen right there. Y'all should be clapping right there."
And it's only in that voice.
Yeah. I'm like, well, if it was good preaching, you wouldn't have to ask for an amen, brother. So I'm just saying. No, I never do things for my only rule is, if you're going to clap, let's clap. Mm-hmm. If you're not, let's don't.
Yeah. Cause sometimes
I don't like half-hearted clapping.
Sometimes I'll start a clap and nobody joins me, and I'll stop because I get self-conscious. I don't want to be the only guy.
You're the only one singing to your dog or about your dog. Yeah. No one's joining you.
Mm. Good point.
Call back. Yeah, sorry. See, this is another one of those unscripted. This is like Thursday.
Well, the whole thing is unscripted. We have a direction on here, and you know,
then we fill in we fluff it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I'm just quarterbacking. Hand it off. What did you mean at the end of the sermon? What is your I must?
Well, I thought I explained it.
When?
In the sermon.
Oh, no, you did.
I'm just kidding.
I was there.
Yeah, it was just another fluff moment.
I was there.
You were.
Yeah.
No, I think I think that is a good, I was trying to make that exchange awkward. That's where that quarterback, running back exchange.
It was. It was like the men's 4x100 relay team.
Yeah, yeah. Like that, we missed that handoff.
Dropping the baton.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, again, every, you know, preaching person, preacher, professor that would tell you about preaching, like how important it is to have a good opening, you know, and then, you know, obviously points in the middle and have a good closing, you know, kind of your typical stuff. But I really like, especially in this series of messages, I've been trying to end it in a reflective way, you know, asking a question after I've made a couple points. So that one this week, I mean, obviously came right out of the text in John 10:16, where Jesus said, "I must." And really the way I thought about it, especially coming out of Ezekiel 34, because I think it's in church world, at least a lot of times. And again, I'm not saying this about anybody in our church or not trying to be overly negative about sheep in general, but I think a lot of times in anything, not just church, we can just so easily blame the leaders. It's all the politician's fault. It's all the pastor's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's the teacher's fault. And we never personalize it to ourselves. Well, since I was talking about how sheep relate to other sheep, and going back to Jesus, and if I'm listening to the voice of the shepherd, then I'm going to love that sheep the way that shepherd loves that sheep. You know, so I should be asking myself, do I feel the same way about the sheep that the shepherd does? you know, to the point to where the mindset of the shepherd was, well, I must bring them in. Mm. So in order to bring them in, I have to lay down my life.
So good.
So really the point was more, and I don't think I said this, but the point was more trying to make the point of like, if you're not laying down your life, then you have the wrong I must. You have the wrong things, the wrong telos. You're going after, you're not following the shepherd, you know. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, if you're not giving all your money away, you don't love Jesus, you know. But that's why I use the example of the bucket list idea. Like, I think the bucket list idea is fantastic. I think it's a great way for a family or a person to like think about things they want to do in life. You know, again, go to Israel, go on a cruise, you know.
Get another dog,
you know, things you want to do before you kick the bucket. That's not bad. I think the danger is it just becomes all about what that one sheep is doing for that one sheep.
Yeah.
Not, I have this otherness about me. Mm-hmm. I have this, I'm going to lay down my life for the sake of others. So I really wanted the sheep in our church, in our flock, to think about, do you have an I must like that? Are you driven by a same internal motivation that your shepherd is? And again, I always wrestle with using myself, and I think any preacher should. I always wrestle with putting myself into an example, especially from a perspective of like making myself out to be the hero. Like, look at what I did and I'm so awesome.
Right.
You know, I don't think we should do that. And theologically, because Jesus is the hero. It's always look at what he did.
Right.
You know, Jesus is the hero. Jesus is the point, which is why we say in our family culture statements, get the right five letters. You know, it's Jesus. But I don't know if I did it at every gathering, but I know at a couple of them I said like what my I must is. Like, I must preach the gospel. I have to. Because God gifted me to do that.
Yep.
And I would be disobedient if I didn't do it. And also, not only would I be disobedient if I didn't do it, but other sheep would suffer. If I didn't do what I was gifted to do, because and we'll actually get into this 1 Corinthians. This is a nice setup. This is
very Pauline.
Very Pauline, because 1 Corinthians is where we're going next, and we'll talk about spiritual gifts. But the entire point of spiritual gifts, that God gives us spiritual gifts not for us. They're not for me. My gift is not for me. My fruit's not for me. It's for others. And so whatever God has blessed us with, whether it be a spiritual gift, whether it be a monetary blessing like money, whether it be an intangible thing like influence or leadership, he has given that to you to be a blessing. So I just really want to encourage people in our church, especially to have a bigger I must, you know, to have a kingdom I must.
That's excellent.
As a way to say that, which is what led to the second question of, is it of your own accord? Like you are choosing this or is it for your own accord? Is it for yourself? Or are you... It's basically saying, are you deciding by yourself for it not to be about yourself? Or are you just deciding by yourself for it to be about yourself?
Is it a bucket list or a bucket lost?
Yeah. Well, I heard you definitely on Thursday night. I think when I said, like, is it on your bucket list to lead somebody to Christ before you die? I heard you go, you know, you had to... Or the amen. Or, that's good. I heard your low baritone.
Not the voice of the shepherd.
No. Well, but it's the voice of a sheep. Again, like, and I like that. I mean, I like it when you respond. I like it when anybody responds, like, because I know you're listening, you know. But again, we need other sheep around us to encourage us in that, because it's so easy. Every church, any church consultant or pastor would tell you this, the natural inclination of any church, the longer it's alive, is to turn inward on itself. Well, that's because the natural inclination of every sheep, the longer it's alive, is to turn in on itself.
Right.
So we as shepherds have to constantly keep pointing our sheep out to, hey, the shepherd has other sheep he must bring in. He's got other sheep. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was, you know, a little tongue in cheek, but being serious, like, so I must move a gathering to make room for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I must serve on a team to make room for them.
Yep.
I must give generously to provide for them. So that's really the I must that I was going after for our sheep, our church. Man, I really want you to have a kingdom I must of, man, I must follow the shepherd. I must lay down my life for the sheep. Mm-hmm. I must do whatever it takes, you know, for people to know Jesus. And I think if you start there, it's like any business book or leadership book would like begin with your why. You know, if I'm living my life as a sheep to love that sheep the way that shepherd loves that sheep,
mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to get a lot of favor and blessing from that shepherd because he can trust me. He can depend on me because I'm going to love his sheep the way he loves that sheep. And so he's going to, you know, and I'm not saying this like automatically, but typically he's going to expand, you know, our leadership, mm-hmm. our influence, our hearts, you know, like the more we're in tune with the voice of the shepherd, the more the shepherd's going to trust us and give us. I mean, that's the principle of the talents or mm-hmm. being faithful with a little, you know. And I just think so many sheep don't have a big enough vision like that. And don't ever, they just think, well, that's the pastor's job,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Jason and David, they must preach and lead that.
Yeah.
They're doing the work of ministry.
They're going to go to the hospital.
They're going to do it. Yeah. No, our job is to equip you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
To have a kingdom, I must. Yeah. So again, and I'll come back around to it some this week as well. We'll actually be wrapping up Voices this week. Still in John 10, the last few verses, going to be really good. Excited about it. And it'll be a great setup to 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to something you said a couple of minutes ago, and this is just really a side note. You said, yeah, one of the things that I must do is I must serve the sheep,
yeah,
and join a serving team. Somebody came up to me last weekend and said, man, look at all these people with blue shirts and green shirts. I'm so glad we have enough team members. I guess we don't need any more.
Sorry, that noise is probably loud if you're listening.
No. Number one, joining a team is part of our mission statement. Love Jesus, grow people. The R in grow is relationships.
Yeah.
One of the best ways to build relationships is to be on a serving team.
Yeah, join the 72.
And there are never enough because we don't want people to burn out on serving.
No.
And I don't care if there's 10 people at a door in blue shirts. That speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. And I bet you have conversations with those 10 people.
Yeah.
Even if you're not holding a door for somebody and you're building relationships. Yeah. So the importance of joining a team.
Yeah. Again, absolutely. Like, cause being on a team, is one of the primary ways we are transformed into the image of the shepherd because it forces us to lay down our life.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about laying down our life, like Romans 12:1-2, it's like being a living sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice is it always gets up off the altar and walks away because it doesn't want to die.
Mm.
So laying down my life is not something I did. It's something I have to do every day.
Yes.
So me being on a serving team, like I've had this conversation with my kids many times. They're like, I don't want to go serve today. It's like, well, it's not about if you want to. Now, again, we all need a break.
Yes.
All that. But
and the more people serving, the more opportunity there is breaks. To take a break.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's why we need more. But again, it's in those moments that it's training my children to one day be good spouses, to one day be good citizens, to one day be good church members, stewards, hopefully. Like their instinct is, I'm going to lay down my life for other sheep, not I'm just going to reap the reward of other people laying down their life for me.
Right. Excellent. So as we go into 1 Corinthians, interesting book, So we have gone through the entire book of Micah, Romans, John, Ephesians, and Ezra. Mm-hmm. So this would be the sixth, 60 to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. and got a ways to go.
When you were talking about your must is to preach the gospel. That was Paul's must.
Yes.
And Paul said to Timothy, preach the gospel, preach the word. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul's talking to people who are used to all of these orators, and he goes, hey, I'm just going to preach him, meaning Jesus, and him crucified.
Yeah.
And that's powerful.
Very powerful. And why, I'd been feeling for a while that, we needed to do 1 Corinthians again, not like for any specific reason, just the way the Spirit, you know, just feel those nudges and it's on your mind and you start looking at it. But to be honest with you, I kind of wrestled with it. I even told you guys when we were at a church planning meeting last week, driving back, a lot of the pastors, I was like, man, I said, nervous isn't the right word. I'm not nervous because it's the word of God. I said, but I am a little, I said, I don't know how to say it, but I'm a little anxious. Again, I don't even know if that's the right word. It's just preaching this book in today's culture. Mm-hmm. There's some controversial stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And by controversial, I don't mean like it's a controversy. But there's some issues, you know, it deals with sexual immorality. It deals with divisions in the church. It deals with spiritual gifts. It deals with love. You know,
This was a letter that Paul wrote to a church that he had planted.
Yeah, arguably the most dysfunctional church in the New Testament.
Yeah, and then he gets a report that it ain't going well there.
Yeah, this church was a train wreck. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's addressing issues, and as we get into it, you'll see he's addressing issues in this church that are, I mean, again, this church is just off the rails. So therefore, he was very, he was bringing out his shepherd's staff, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I've been thinking about it for a while, but then after doing Voices, and then really deciding, okay, we're going to do 1 Corinthians, then it kind of hit me, why we need to do it is when we're doing a series like this in John 10, the concept of Voices of a shepherd and a stranger is very easy to understand. It's there. I get it. And that is a powerful concept. And that's what we've been talking about. It's great. But it also still remains very subjective, or it can remain subjective in the sense of like, well, yeah, but the shepherd would say that to me, you know, because it depends. Like, well, I'm in relationship with the shepherd. Who are you to tell me I'm not in relationship with the shepherd? You know, but in 1 Corinthians, it's like, as Pastor Chad said, this is the voice. Mm-hmm. Like 1 Corinthians is the shepherd's voice saying, no, that's wrong. This is right.
That's good.
So 1 Corinthians is going to be a great follow-up, I hope, Lord willing, to Voices as a way to like, okay, we talked for 5 weeks about how to listen to the shepherd's voice, how we need to listen to the shepherd's voice. Now let's get into the shepherd's voice. Mm-hmm. This is what he says about these issues, about divisions, about sexual immorality, about like, he's going to tell you now. So that's where I had a little trepidation about getting into it. But what I love about what the Spirit is doing is like, we got into it, I think, the best way from this concept of, okay, I want to listen to the shepherd's voice. So when the shepherd's voice tells me that this is sexually immoral, then I don't need to react viscerally to that and just be like, well, no, you know, like, no, that's the voice of the shepherd. Mm-hmm. And remember, he's trying to lead you to life. So he wouldn't tell you this to steal from you or kill you or destroy you. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's telling you this because he doesn't want that to happen. He's telling you this because he has life for you. He has greener, good pasture for you. So please listen to him. When he says this about whatever the issue is that we're going to address in 1 Corinthians, listen to him, you know? And that's in essence how we're going to wrap up this week, because we'll be in John 10, 19 through 30, I believe it is, where the religious leaders have a conversation and ultimately they ask the question, why listen to him? Why listen to him?
Yeah.
And Jesus tells him why, because of the works and because he's one with the Father. But I think we all have to answer the question, because it is a good question, like especially like non-church, secular people, non-believing people, they're going to ask the question, why should I listen to Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why Jesus? Why should I listen to him? Mm-hmm. And therefore, we're all asking that question. And so I think we got to be able to answer that question. Well, I'm going to listen to him because he's a good shepherd and he's leading me to good pasture and he's one with the Father. And the works that he did validated that.
Yes.
That's basically Jesus's answer. So as we get into 1 Corinthians, is what I'm saying is you got to answer that question. Mm-hmm. Why are you going to listen to him? Because there's going to be some hard things he's going to say.
Yeah.
And when he says those hard things, you better have a why. Mm-hmm. You better have that why, the I must, like, I'm listening to him because I trust that he's leading me. Because mm-hmm. If I'm going to turn over the authority to every area of my life, financially, sexually, spiritual gifts, now, you know, how I live, mm-hmm. how I speak, you know, all those things, who my allegiances are to, divisions in the church. If I'm going to give the shepherd access to all that, you know, there's going to be some tensions along the way.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. And I think that is such a powerful question to ask people. Are you willing to give Jesus access to everything?
Yeah.
And if not, he's not the Lord of you. Mm-mm. He's not the Lord of everything.
No.
So I
which can't. Goes to what I said a few weeks ago. Sorry, no. I interrupted you. No. Like when I made the point, ultimately, why listen to him? Because he laid down his life for you.
Yeah.
When I made the point a few weeks ago, don't listen to anybody who hasn't laid down their life for you. Satan hasn't laid down his life for me. Why would I listen to him? Mm-hmm. You know, well, I listen to him because he speaks to my flesh. Well, my flesh doesn't want to die either. Why would I listen to it? Mm-hmm. And so yes, to your point of like, I think that's what we have to keep coming back to is why am I going to listen to him? Because he laid down his life for me. I may not understand. Well, I'm definitely not going to understand. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But like, if he really is the Lord of my life, then he's got to be the Lord of, I need to listen to him in every area of my life.
Yeah.
If he's Lord, I better listen to him.
And it's hard. And I just want to sum up the podcast today and say, it's clear that Revolution Church is growing in numbers.
Yeah.
We don't have number goals. We count sheep.
Yes.
Because it's necessary to figure out what do we need to feed the sheep.
Yeah. And like, hey, we had 99, we had 100, now we only have 99. Where'd that one go?
Yeah.
That's why you got to count them.
Exactly. So, but one of the reasons people are flocking, flocking to Revolution is because our lead pastor has made a commitment to preach the word. And he's been called to preach the word. So we go through books of the Bible. I invite people to church all the time. Shocker, I know.
Yeah.
And when I tell them what we do here, a lot of Christians are surprised.
It's sad to me.
Yeah, a lot of queer Christians are surprised. You go through like verse by verse. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Typically.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And that's what people want. They're so hungry. They're so hungry and they're so thirsty. I think there's a line from the West Wing. No, I'm sorry. It's a line from the American President. It is an Aaron Sorkin line. They're so thirsty, they'll drink the sand if they can't find anything else. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have living water. Mm-hmm. So they're thirsty for the living water, but they're also thirsty for the truth.
Yeah, and think about that in this context of sheep, Ezekiel 34. You go feed, you go to the water. The reason why a lot of sheep, unfortunately, are so hungry and so thirsty is a lot of shepherds, unfortunately, haven't been leading them there. You know, so they're they're spiritually dehydrated.
Wow.
They're spiritually
great analogy.
Malnourished. And again, I'm not trying to call out pastors, but I'm just saying, like, to your point, and I appreciate that. Like, it floors me that that's surprising. Mm-hmm. It floors me that pastors, and again, I'm not saying preaching through books of the Bible is only the only way to preach.
Right.
And we're doing a really powerful series right now, but it is through
It's just through John a section 10. Of scripture. Yeah. And we've done that many times. Romans 8, Hebrews 12, you know, we actually went through the whole book of James too. You didn't have one on your list.
Was I here?
It was right when you were beginning. It was called Faith Works.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember the series.
Yeah. And we went through Galatians too.
Okay.
So we're a little further. We don't have 60 to go. We've probably got like 56.
What was the Galatians one called?
Default or Design. It was that one.
Okay.
I think that's right when I started on the radio.
Yeah.
Those were
that's right.
when you were at Victory and the sermons were on the radio.
I stand corrected. We've gone through more than five books, seven books.
Yeah.
At least.
Well, they just weren't titled that book name.
Right. Yeah.
That's why. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I say that to say of like going back full circle now to foundational, like the word of God is alive and active. It's the power of God to save. So it saddens me, mm-hmm. That shepherds haven't done as good of a job as we need to do, to serve up good food, good pasture, the living water, in good ways. And it's sad to me that that we ever thought that we had to add to it, you know, or change it, mm-hmm. Or tweak it. As I told Revolution when I got here 15 years ago, and there wasn't a lot of people that believed me, which is fine. I was like, man, Jesus is attractive. Mm-hmm. We don't have to add anything. So the power is in the word, and I'm so grateful that people, sheep, are experiencing that, seeing that. We do have a good problem. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a lot of sheep coming.
Yeah.
We need some more folds.
Yeah, especially Wednesday night.
If you
want to see something magnificent, serve on Wednesday night with students. It is a sight to see. And they're not coming for a circus. Yeah, there are games outside, and sometimes there's popsicles and there's pizza, but what is happening is the preaching of the word.
Yeah,
you know, Dave Arbogast at our Canton campus and many folks up at the Jasper campus are preaching the word. We are worshiping to the word.
Yeah,
we are praying together, and we are getting together in small groups. And I don't know how many team members serve on. It's got to be over 100 team members serve on Wednesday night.
A lot.
And there's always opportunities for more because you could be a small group leader. You can just be a part of the action of what's going on here. For one night, we had a record. It was over 770 students.
Come on,
that's middle schoolers and high schoolers.
Yeah.
And normally after a big night like that, that's evangelistic, where you're asking your friends to come, there's a huge drop off.
Yeah.
And you go back to your regular numbers. No, it stayed up.
Yeah.
It didn't stay up at 770.
No, but yeah.
But there were a lot of kids.
Yeah, the growth was there the next week.
Students.
Yeah, students.
Yeah.
And again, that's what's amazing. And that's what I love about our church and our staff. Mm-hmm. Is there is a real commitment to do that. Because mm-hmm. we believe in our mission. Like you said, love Jesus, grow people. You said the R is mm-hmm. relationships, where the G is the gospel. Mm. The G is God. So we just preach the gospel.
Yeah.
It works with mm-hmm. kids, with students, with young adults, with adults. It's the power of God. It doesn't make any sense. And by that, I mean like you would like, that's all we got to do. God is, that's where he's endowed his power. His spirit, the spirit loves the word, you preach the word, the spirit will save people, bring people. So we're definitely in a season of that, which is awesome. And we're trying to steward it well. We're out of space here in Canton. Jasper is growing as well. We had one of our largest attendance mm-hmm. Ever there, like non-holiday as well. So we will, you know, Lord willing, keep becoming a generational movement of gospel multiplication, plant more campuses, which is why we need more team members, mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite verses that I talk to team members about, It's Proverbs. I want to say it's 11:25, but it's probably not 11:25. Please don't make it your mission on Sunday to find me to tell me what verse it is.
They're going to come and tell you about your dog singing.
Yeah. Hey, which is fine.
Yeah.
Fine. I would be happy to talk about that. No, it's water others and you yourself will be watered.
Yeah.
And that is one of the,
you'll be refreshed.
Yeah. One of the incredible things about serving on a team that is a byproduct you just don't expect.
No, yeah, exactly. And going back to Jesus laying down his life. I mean, he said it. And for the joy set before me, I endured the cross.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not trying to point Jesus as selfish. Like, Jesus didn't do it just for his own joy. However, he was motivated by that. Like, and so my point is, on the other side of the cross is joy. On the other side of laying down is life. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus said, if you want to save your life, lose it. Mm. If you want to lose your life, try to save it. Mm. You know, we could say, if you want to save your life, lay it down. If you want to try to keep your life, don't lay it down. Mm. You know, like, and so your point is, like, God just built the world that way. On the other side of serving is joy. On the other side of sacrifice, you know. And we get to experience this, like, and I don't mean this selfishly, but one of the things that keeps us running as pastors and shepherds is the joy we experience.
Yes, amen.
You know, like when I took my preaching break, and this happens every year, I can't wait to get back to preach because I miss the joy of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anybody, you're with a teacher, a coach, there's times where you're like, I can't do this anymore. I'm so tired. But if you're honest, after you do it, you miss it.
Yeah.
And these are the good old days. And so it's not wrong for us to look at joy on the other side of your, let's say, like, on the other side of your I must is joy. Mm. You know?
Yep.
If we believe that, which is why we want you to serve.
Yeah.
It's for the good of others and your own joy.
Yes. Yes. And I think the ESV is refresh.
Yeah,
refresh others and you yourself will be refreshed.
Yeah. So maybe the reason why you're not being refreshed is because you're not refreshing others.
Preach that one. Yeah. That's a good one to end on. Our producer is Brian Damaro. Our video technician is the king, Keon Sadishi.
Keon.
Our IT director. He was Key Grip, but he's got a bigger job. Yeah. He's IT director, Jakub Puszczykowski. Mm-hmm. Our film director is Marcos
Guardiola.
Our head of doctrine and theology is Thea Logan. Theologian. She's wonderful. Our chief evangelist is Salvation. Our backsliding prevention officer is Lukewarm. Our director of Swedish witnessing is Bjorn again. Our expert on Russian eschatology is Petoff Hell. I just love that one. Director of Holiness.
Well, yeah, if we don't get this war ended in Ukraine, we might have to let him go. Yeah.
Can I say?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go to Ukraine.
Yes.
Yeah, and visit one of our ministry partners, Slavik, who was on this podcast.
He was on the podcast. Yeah. I'm sending you with a tape recorder.
Yeah.
from 1978 to record something for the podcast. Our staff counselor is Les Moody. He's very busy. Our giving coordinator is Generosity. Our nativity coordinator from France, Beth Lechem. Our co-pastors of Plagues are Manny Locust and Lance Boyles. Our resident Trinitarian is Holly Spirit. Our strategist for the final battle, Irma Geddon. Irma Geddon. I had never heard that football game between those two Midwest.
Oh, Farmageddon?
Farmageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Iowa and Kansas?
Iowa State and Kansas State.
Kansas State. Okay. Yeah. Farmageddon.
I had never heard of it either.
Our resident prayer warrior is Neil Down. Our executive director of spiritual warfare is D. Monick. Our head of the new AI initiative is Artie Fischel. Our director of Old Testament covenants is Sir Comsize. He's been knighted. Our video technician in charge of instant replay is Slow Moses. Our resident feline expert from last week, Bartholomew. Bartholomew.
I don't see him working out here.
No. Also known as Cathaniel. he may not be here next time. Yeah. But our new hire.
What was that noise?
I'm giddy. I texted this to two of our staff last night because I gave them a choice. Do you want this one or this one?
Yeah.
And they chose this one. I think it's the best one. Our director of New Testament Baptism.
New Testament Baptism.
Phil DeTub. Now, it could be his middle initial, D, but Phil DeTub.
I like that one. I can say it like that.
If you want a transcript of this program, write everything down we said. And finally, the bet. And you saw a sign.
Yeah, we actually went to Bucky's last night. Lindsay and I.
Like on a whim?
No. Natalie had a volleyball game. I'm going to look up the photo here so that I can get it right because I texted it to you. She had a volleyball game up in Calhoun, and so I can't drive past the Buc-ee's.
Of course you can.
So I texted it to you. We normally say trust God and take a nap, but it said give it to God and go to sleep.
They were so close.
It's a little too wordy. I like ours better.
Trust God
and go to sleep. No. And take a nap.
Trust God and take a nap. See you next
time. See you next time.